Brother Boyer, do you have a... this don't sound right. Am I too loud? Okay. You have a time. You try to... I've got a little saying in my Bible that I read. I guess it's worldly, but I wrote it in my Bible. I thought it had application. It says, a sea of matter in a drop of language is the perfection of oratory. And in East Tennessee terms, that means stand up, speak up, and shut up. That's about right. And that's very important on Wednesday night after people have worked all day. I understand that. And I really appreciate the opportunity, Brother Moyer. Good to see Brother and Sister Middlebrooks again. Good to see you all. It really is a challenge. I don't know if that's the right word, but when I see, I may be getting myself in trouble, Brother Middlebrooks, but I'm thinking you're maybe around 60. I hope I'm not. Oh, that's good, then. I done good, then. To see a man 60 years old not settling down, but refire. I mean, just reloading, whatever the right word is. That inspires me. That inspires me. As age comes our way, if we're not careful, even in the spiritual realm, we'll start figuring out how to slow down and slow up and maybe avoid doing what we ought to be doing. And so you're an inspiration to me, Brother Middlebrooks. I appreciate that. Let me get settled down here. I have to kindly, Matthew 28, by the way, I have to kindly, as one preacher said, taxi down the runway a little bit to kind of get where I want to be. But I'm convinced of this, there's at least two areas that are ignored in most independent Baptist pulpits. One is the home, but I believe the other is missions. And let me just take time out a minute and say this. I'm missions all the way. I'm 63 years old, and I don't get excited about a whole lot, but missions does excite me. I'm excited about it. Well, I'm already off my outline, but I want to tell you something that excites me. Maybe over the lifetime of my ministry, 250 professions, 300 professions, I don't know, but whatever it might be. But I have got, at our church, we support about 115 missionaries. That's about where we're at. And if they have 10 souls a year, that's 1,000 souls going to be fruit to my account one of these days. You think about that. I'll have more fruit from Africa than I do while in Tennessee. That's something to think of. That excites me. I don't know about you, but you just think I've got preachers preaching for me all over the world. My, that's so. Who wouldn't want in on that? Well, I could really tell you what missions has done for our church, and if I did, you would think I was bragging. You would just think. We don't even have as many as you all have right here on maybe Sunday morning. Well, I tell you, if last not this past Sunday, but Sunday, the fifth Sunday is our youth Sunday. And they know I don't preach on youth Sunday, so we have our biggest crowds in. That's just how it is. And we had 85 on youth Sunday, and we had 67 this past Sunday, I guess it was. So I give you an idea. Just a small country church. Brother Boyer, you've been there a time or two or a few times, however many times it's been. Some of the rest of you. Brother Golston, you've been there. And I don't know. There's been some of you that's come through. And the point I'm trying to make, we're just a small church, but God has blessed us. The church is able for me to be full time. They've bought me vehicles and sent me on vacations. And we're supporting 115 missionaries. And I am convinced in my soul, I don't want to tell you what our faith promise was, but I'm convinced in my soul that our success is because of missions. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, and you can say, and we may fall apart tomorrow. I'm not bragging. This thing may, I may blow it up before next week. But God has blessed us. And it's because of missions. And so, I get excited about it. And one thing that excites me, I guess one thing that stirs me up more than, I don't guess excites the right word. I never was taught missions. Now, I grew up in Missionary Baptist Church. Now, I know this church is a mission church. I know. I can't help but see the board back there. I know Brother Jones, a mission preacher, and I know Brother Boyers about missions. But my dad preached over Morgan County when I was a kid. He pastored 4 or 5 churches in Morgan County, and I never heard missions. I never heard it. I was wrong, just to be honest with you. They called themselves missionaries, but Brother Middlebrooks, please forgive me, but I just thought a missionary, somebody couldn't preach good enough to get a church when I was a kid. That's what I thought. That's how foolish I was and how little I knew. But there come a time, and I'll tell you this, and then I'll get right, maybe right to the message. There come a time in my life where I knew something in the church wasn't right. Now, we were shouting it out. Everything was going good. I mean, it's almost like a spirit of revival. But in my soul, I knew something was missing. I knew something was missing. And this has been years ago. And I didn't know what it was. And I know it had to be the Holy Ghost looking back on it, that the Holy Ghost was moving in my life. And just let me make a long story short, I found out what was missing was a mission program. It was a mission program. And so I'm all about missions. I want you to understand that. Now, I want to preach tonight on a couple of mission texts. And I know some of you probably sitting there and you don't think much about missions, but that's the heartbeat of God. As sure as I'm standing here, that's the heartbeat of God. And so I want you to turn to Matthew 28. And before I read, I want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. And Lord, you know my inability. You know how pitiful I am and how inadequate. But Lord, you call me and you place me in this work. You give me a heart for missions. And I sure would like to just say something to help somebody tonight. I wish you'd just touch my mouth and help me to say the right things and open the hearts to receive. And Father, just do an eternal work that needs to be done. Just do an eternal work. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. If there's any hindrances or any distractions that the devil might have planted that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, please take those away, remove them, and do the work that you know needs doing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to preach to you tonight on the Great Commission. The Great Commission. A lot of folks don't think the Great Commission is the Great Commission. And you will not find those words in the Word of God. I understand that. But neither will you find Sunday school. Or neither will you find rapture. But you do find the concepts. And so I want to talk to you. By the way, you are serious about serving God. I do believe that. I have to believe this church is serious about serving God. I have to believe if I could show you in the Word of God what God tells us to do, that you'd try to do it to the best of your ability. Is that right, church? Am I off on that?
Yes, sir.
Well, ain't nobody saying nothing. I don't know if we are or not, but I believe that about you. I believe that. I have that much confidence in you. And so I want to try just to let the Word of God speak to us tonight. There's so many ideas when you talk about missions. Some are against it. And some say, if you do it this way, I'm for it. But if you do it your way, I'm against it. And some say this and some say that. And I'm telling you what I think. But really, what does God have to say about this thing? I mean, here's Brother Boyer trying to lead the church. And what does God want the pastor to, what direction does he want him to go in? And what direction does he want you to follow in? That's a good question to ask, is it not? You know it is. You know we need to think about it. You know what I think? I think a lot of times we think we're serving God, but really we're just playing. Now, I'm starting to sound mean, but I'm not trying. There ain't a mean bone in me tonight. We really, sometimes we think we're serving God and we're doing it right and we're everything we need. But the fact of the matter is, we're just playing. Well, let's read the text and see what the Word of God has to say. The Bible says this, a commission is, I looked that word up. We talk about a lot of words and use a lot of Bible words sometimes and really don't know what they mean. And I wasn't sure I knew what commission meant. And so I looked it up, and it's the committee. Or the sending to, the act of entrusting as a charge or a duty. And so what we're going to look at tonight, if I'm right, is a charge or a duty that God has placed upon us. Now, if He's placed that on us and we're serious about serving God, then we need to do everything we can to carry out what He's asked us to do. Would y'all agree with that? Or should we play at it? That's what I'm asking. I mean, I'm at the age where really I don't have a lot of years left on planet Earth. I don't want to play. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to get in this thing, if I can say it that way. Here's what the Bible says. I'll start reading in Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. Notice it said some, not one. I've thought about that. It's interesting the way the Bible says that. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm sure thankful for that, aren't you? Now here is what I am calling the Great Commission, the great charge, the great duty that our Lord gave us. Go ye, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to Mark 16. Now that's the Word of God. That's not me speaking, that's God speaking. If you think this Bible's the Word of God, that's God speaking to us. Okay, Mark chapter 16. And verse number 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's Brother Stennett Blue. Every creature deserves a preacher. That's so. That is so. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We call those sign gifts. They were sign gifts confirming the message preached was of God. There was no New Testament put together at that time. And so once the New Testament canon was put together, those sign gifts were gone. Just in case anybody's confused on that. Acts chapter 1, then I'll give you my little thoughts this evening. Acts chapter number 1. We do have an account in Luke. We have a verse in John that we could use, but I'll give you these and these three, and then we'll go from there. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so let's stop right there. And let me say this. What I have read to you is what I call the Great Commission. It's the great charge that God gave the church, or the Lord gave the church, before he ascended to the Father. It's the last command that God gave. He is God, but our Lord, Jesus Christ, gave before he ascended to the Father. Can I say this? I'm convinced it's the marching orders of the local New Testament church. Well, I want to talk about the Great Commission, the Great Charge. Here's what some folks say, that the Great Charge was just to the apostles. And that once they were gone, then this charge was out of the way. If that's so, it's funny to me that the Lord said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." It looks to me like that this applies to the church as well. Don't think anybody can argue, if they will be reasonable with the scriptures, can argue with that. Well, what is this great commission? What is really the commands? What are the specifics or the substance of it? Number one, let's just look at the Bible. Verse 19, it says, "Go ye." Go ye. What that says to me, we don't crawl in a hole and hide out waiting on the Lord to come back. But we as God's people are to be offensive with the gospel. We're to go. It's important, church. Hey, you're to go. That's how simple it is. You're to go. What are you to do? When I go, what do I do? Well, let's see what the Bible says. See what God says for us to do. It really doesn't matter what I say to do. And really, with all respect, Brother Clint, doesn't matter what you say. But it does matter what God says for us to do. That's right. So here's what he says. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So we go to teach. Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. So we, Acts 1 and 8 tells us to witness. And so as we go for a purpose. That is to teach and to preach and to witness unto him. Acts 1 says, but we are to teach and preach the gospel to those who are lost and on their way to hell. That's the great commission to go. But can I tell you, that's only part of it. After you go and teach and preach the gospel, if we go in God's power, God's direction, God's leading, and this is Him leading, He's going to produce results. And there's going to be souls saved. That's right. And when those souls are saved, part of the Great Commission is to baptize them, establishing a local church. Baptism, far as I'm concerned, some would disagree with me, it's the door into the local church for sinners. And when they are baptized and the church begins to form, then they have to be discipled. And so the Bible says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, and then baptizing the believers, them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then it's followed up with this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so here's the great commission that you've been told to do. Is to go and evangelize and baptize and to disciple. And the word I want to use is stabilize. Evangelize, baptize, and stabilize. That's, brother, you know where that comes from. That's the Great Commission. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing what God has asked us to do. And let me just say this. Maybe I'm just going to talk to you tonight. I don't know. If we're not doing that, we're not obeying what God told us to do. Here's what He's really saying. I'm going away, but I'll be back in a little while. Here's what I want you to do. It almost reminds you of when you were a kid, doesn't it? You remember when you was a kid, Mom and Dad would say, hey, I'm going to town, but when we get back, you have your bath and you have these clothes on because we got to go wherever it is, church or whatever it was. And if you didn't do that, you were in trouble. And you had a lot of other chores you might have had to do around the house, but when they got ready to leave and told you what to do, and you do this before I get back, if you didn't do it, you were in trouble. And I just want to say, church, if we don't carry out the Great Commission, we're in trouble. That's right. Y'all can play at it. You can just, we get dull to it and we don't take it serious and we get everything else, all the problems of life and all the problems of the church, and we start playing defense. But the fact of the matter is, God told us to go and teach and preach the gospel and baptize. And really, really, let me just stop and say this. If you really get down to missions is, and I'm going to lose some of you here, but I'm going to preach it the way I believe it. I'd be foolish. I'd be hypocritical to do it different. Missions is really, the fruit of missions is churches. Now, here's what I think. I think our model missionary is the Apostle Paul. Our model sending church is the church at Antioch. If we really want to line up by the Bible, and I think we see how missions operate in the book of Acts. And when the Apostle Paul, you can see, you follow him through. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. In one chapter, you have the church at Corinth. Established. The next, maybe the next chapter or two, you have the church at Thessalonica. And then we go chapter 16, we've got the church at Philippi. And if you follow through that book of Acts, this church was started. What is that? That's the work of missions, don't you see? That's churches being reproduced so the work of God can go on. I understand it's about sinners being saved, hearing the gospel and being saved. But here's what missions does. It perpetuates the church, which is the vehicle God has chosen to carry out His work on planet Earth. Are y'all with me tonight? That's what missions is all about. That's what we're talking about. Well, we see the specifics of missions. But I want to look at the scope of missions. I mean, here's what I used to always believe. A little church, a little Harriman Baptist Tabernacle placed in Rome County in the city of Harriman to be a light to the Harrimanites. That's what I thought. But that's not all of it. Here's what he says. Let me go back to Acts and just read what he says to the church or to the apostles. He said this, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. That means both means at all these places. Notice what it says. And I want you to read it because I don't want you to think I'm trying to twist your arm or trying to sell you. I'm not trying to put you in anything. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God says. Now here's what God said. He's getting ready to go away. And He said, here's what I want you to do, and I'll be back in a little while. Now here's what He says. He says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? Both in Jerusalem. That's Harriman. For the Harriman Baptist Tabernacle. That's Harriman. And then he says this, and in all Judea. That might be Tennessee. That's a province. We'll call it a state. That'd be Tennessee. You're the witness to me in Tennessee. This little church is to carry out the Great Commission in the state of Tennessee. But that's not far as it goes. And then it says this, and in Samaria. That'd probably be the other states. Another little province there, whatever you want to call it. If you look on the map, just a little body of land up above Judea, if I'm remembering right. And so you're to be a witness. You're to carry the gospel to the other states of the United States. I'm just trying to equate this in my mind. And then it says this, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the whole world. Now let me tell you something, church. If you do not have a personal realization that this church has a worldwide ministry given to it by God, you do not have a full revelation of what God's asking of you. You have a worldwide assignment from the Lord. That sobers me. Here's what amazes me, Brother Clint. I'm surprised the apostles didn't say what? What? 12 of us going to the uttermost parts of the world? No way, Lord. They didn't even fuss about it. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't, and the Holy Ghost didn't want us to know. But as far as the Bible is concerned, they didn't say anything about it. And here's what some of you were saying when I said you have a worldwide ministry. No way, preacher. We can't do that. We've just got 67 or 85, whatever I had the other 2 weeks ago. You've got more than I've got. But can I tell you, God, no matter what you think, no matter how much you think you're unable to do it, God has given you a worldwide ministry. That's right. You're to go not only to the nation, not only to the state, not only to the county or the city. You go to the whole world. Now, God told you to do that. Ah, when you get a hold to that, it almost will blow your mind. You will be, I think like I was describing the apostles. How can that be? Well, I won't preach that tonight, but the fact of the matter is, there's a way to do it. He made a way. He deputized some people. They come through on deputation, and you deputize them. Send them in your place, don't you say? Well, you have them. Here, church, if you don't get anything else out of what I'm saying, you be sure you realize this. You have a worldwide responsibility given to you from the Lord. That's right. And if you're serious, the best you can, the best you know how, if you're serious about serving God, you have to attempt to carry that out. However you think it is. And the Bible is very plain on that. And so the scope, Matthew says all nations, Mark says all the world, Acts says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. My, the disciples didn't rebel and neither should we. Here's what we should do. Lord, here's what you told me to do. Help us to do it. Help us to do that. My, if we'd do that, there ain't no telling what God might let us do. Matthew saw my little place up there. You'd say they can't do anything. They can't do anything. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. My, it's unbelievable what He's done. It's not us. I'm telling you, it's not us. It's God. We just are obeying what He told us to do. It's best we can. Do you miss it? I guess we do sometimes, but we're trying not to. Trying to find Him. Well, we see the scope of the Great Commission. It's worldwide. And then we see the span of the Great Commission. I've already touched on it. Don't guess I need to say anything about it again. But even unto the end of the world. How long, preacher, how long do we carry out? I mean, I'm guessing up there, y'all probably got 200 missionaries. Just look at all them cards up there. Say, you got 200. Well, we've arrived, preacher. We really don't need to take on any more missionaries. No. No, the work goes on till the end of the world. That's right. It goes on till the end of the world. Well, we're doing our part. Hey, can we not do a little more? That's all I'm asking. Can you not do a little more? My, the scope, the span goes on. What's the success of the Great Commission? I've already touched on this. I always do that when I preach. I pull the trigger before I have the target. But if you were to go to Philippians 4, Paul said this to the Philippians, that he's desired fruit abounding to your account, to their account, if I'm talking about them. Here's the amazing thing about God. When you give and you support a missionary, their fruit is your fruit. Man, I may have 1,000 Africans at the judgment seat of Christ. Man, I may look like the greatest preacher to ever preach on planet Earth. And all along, it's them little missionaries I was helping that sacrificed and gave up their homes and their families and their land. We won't even give up a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or a Tuesday night. And they give everything up and want us to help them. And they just about have to beg to get help. I say that's a shame for the local church. We ought to be running them down, putting money in their pockets, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, but I'm going to have some Asians and Africans and South Americans and all them countries, Brazilians and Peruvians and all them. I stand there at the judgment seat. They're going to be fruit abounding to my account. Amen. That don't stir you up, but it does me. I like it. That's why I want to give to missions. I want to give more. Now, if I ever give, I want fruit. The judgment seat. I sure don't have much in wallet. I believe I'll have some. I'll have some at the judgment seat. I may even have some of them Nicaraguans. Brother Middlebrooks, you get down there and start winning them. You need to hurry and get down there and win me some fruit for the glory of God. Well, I just want to do what He wants me to do. And He told us to go into all the world. And why don't we just do it? We owe Him everything. I've thought about it so much. You ever think about the widow? She gave everything she had. 2 mites wasn't much. She gave all she had. I'm shooting another target before it comes up. She gave all she had. Acts 2. They sold their land and houses, laid it at the apostles' feet. I think about the little woman that had 2 sticks and just enough meal to cook a cake for her and her son that's going to die, but she gave it to the prophet. I mean, all through the Word of God, there's people. Paul said this, I count it all dung. Not 90% of it, Brother Trent. He said, it's all done. Can I just tell you what they did? They gave all. Yeah. We won't hardly give anything many times. Right. Right. I challenge our people. Wouldn't you hate to stand behind the widow that gave the 2 mites and she gave everything and you wouldn't even give 10% to missions or 5% or whatever. I know there's no percentage. That's between you and God. I'm not trying to say that, but we think we give so much, we don't give anything compared to some. They give it all. And then you go over to Hebrews 11 and others. We're tortured, slain by the sword. I mean, they gave their own lives for this thing. And we don't even want to help a missionary along the way. Something's wrong, church. Something's wrong with us. We've been blessed so much. We've been, God's blessed us and watched over and took care of us. And then we get selfish and self-centered and want to hold back on God. I'm telling you, we ought to take this great commission serious tonight. It's a serious matter. It's not a play thing. It's not somebody trying to twist you or manipulate you. It's a holy God that says, take the good news to a lost and a dying world. Well, we see the success of the Great Commission is fruit abounding to your account. That word abounding carries the idea of just overflowing, of a river overflowing. Fruit abounding to your account. I wonder, Brother Jones was here 40 years. And I just wonder how many souls he'll have to judgment seat out of China, Asia, India, Africa. My, may be no telling. And you're part of that too, those of you that's been here and give, sacrificed, gave. Well, we see the success. But then there's some struggles, and I don't know if I need to mention these, but I think I will just to throw them at you. Won't talk on them long. There's some struggles with missions. There's that crowd that says we need to get our county straightened out before we go anywhere else. I remind you of the word both. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. See, really, the fact of the matter is, you could labor all your life in Rome County, when you died, it still wouldn't be straightened out. I hate to tell you that. That's the way it is. You want you got straightened out here, right over here on this side of town, be something else you need to work on. You'd never get out of there. And so the Lord said, both here and here and here and here. There's that crowd that they just don't understand. When somebody says, I think we ought to get our county straightened out before we send their money somewhere else, that's just showing their ignorance. They just don't understand. And I say that humbly. They just don't understand the Scriptures. They don't understand. Incompetent missionaries by that. And here's what will happen, church. I know you've run into them as long as you've been involved in missions. They will be lazy missionaries. It'll show. Some way, you'll hear, it'll come back to you. They'll be lazy. There'll be problems with immorality on the mission field. There'll be missionaries who really, they're so ignorant they don't even need to be on the mission field. It's just the truth of the matter. But can I tell you, there's also preachers here like that. And here's what the devil will do, because he doesn't want you to be excited about missions. He will focus you in on those incompetent missionaries and will never remind you of that faithful bunch that's labored day after day after day. I'll never forget about what Don Savile said. Don Savile said this. I heard him preach once, and he said this. He said, I just bought a white shirt. It had one little, he said, some way I'd got one little ink dot on it. I preached that night. I stood back at the back of the door. I was shaking hands as I went out. He said, the white shirt was perfectly white. There was nothing on it except one little ink dot. And here's what he said. What do you think the people saw when they looked at my white shirt? He said the focus was not on the 99.9% white shirt, but was on that little blue ink dot. Hey, preacher, you've got an ink dot on your shirt. Preacher, you've got some ink on your shirt. He said it just went on through the over and over again. And that's what the devil tries to do with us in missions. He tries to get us looking at the ink dots instead of those doing a godly, good work for the cause of Christ. And so that's a struggle with us. And then there's the quitters. Those that just up and quit. I don't understand it, church. It upsets me. And I for a while, there was a point in my life, I was negative towards missionaries because of quitters. I thought they were just wanting another line item on the resume. Just something they could put on their resume saying, I've been on the mission field. Just pay their dues. No burden. And I got kind of hard, and I started looking why I shouldn't take them on instead of why I should. I had a negative attitude. And can I tell you, it almost put me out of the mission business. Because you can always find, some of you already in this, me being up here, you found something that you didn't like about what I said, or maybe the way I said it, or my delivery. You can always find, the devil's always going to show you something negative. And what you need to do is focus on those doing a good job. Here's what I'm talking about, struggles with the group. The devil doesn't want this church carrying out the Great Commission. God does, but the devil doesn't. He's going to work on you with that. But I just encourage you, look at the positive in this thing. My, we see the success, we see the struggles. And then I'm just going to give you this, and this is really the burden on my heart, and I know I've been up for a little while, but this is really the burden on my heart, the sadness of the Great Commission. Now, some folks say this, what saddens them about the Great Commission is that with most people, it's the Great Omission. instead of the Great Commission. And that is a sad thing, but at least I can explain that away. It's ignorance is what it really it has to be. It's apathy, maybe. Maybe it's just a coldness, not caring about sinners. I can't imagine a believer sincere doesn't care about sinners. If you're saved and you don't care about sinners, there's something wrong somewhere in your life. But can I tell you what the saddest thing to me is? It's not the great omission, but the great remission. What do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean by it. You think of remission as things just in a holding pattern. Maybe somebody with leukemia, and they say it's in remission. It's in remission. Now, it doesn't mean it's gone. But it means it's just not growing. It's just sitting there. They've got it. They've got it stabilized. To me, that's far more sad than the great omission. Because that is a people who at one time understood their responsibility to God. And they understood that there were sinners dying and going to hell. But somewhere that grew cloudy. Somewhere that burden, that realization, that truth that they had grasped maybe slipped through their hands. And now they're still paying the missions. They're still giving. The heart's not in it. They don't care about it. They're not really focused on what God told them to do. They're just, it's what I said earlier, they're just, if please don't get upset. I'm not trying to be hateful and mean. They're just playing. They might take 3 or 4 on a year, 5 or 6 a year. And if they happen to call and come by, I mean, they might be willing to do that. Another year, the same thing. Next year, another 3 or 4. We're doing mission. And listen, some church, that's all they can do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that really just hitting on a cylinder every now and then on this thing of missions. That's sad to me. That's sad to me. What should our spirit be about missions? Right here's the burden of my heart. This is a mission church. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know where your spirit about missions. I don't know if you're excited about it. I don't know if you feel like we've done too much. We've done our fair share. Let somebody else do something. But here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says. I want you to listen, church. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Let that soak in to you a minute. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, put all you have into it. If God told us to do it, and we believe He did, if you believe He did, I don't know if I convinced you of that. You may have already been convinced. But if God told you to do it, don't play at it, but do it with all thy might. I see a lot of churches practicing missions, but they're playing at it. Let me give you 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. I've got several of these I'm going to read. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. What does it mean to run to win the prize? Run as hard as you can run and still finish the race. I know we're not in a dash, we're in a cross country, I guess you could say. But we ought to be running as hard as we can run to finish. He said run to win. Not run to come in third or fourth or fifth or whatever place you want to be. He said run to win. That's the Holy Spirit preserved that for us. This thing, the burden of my heart is this. We're playing. I'm not talking about the hermit. I'm talking about independent Baptist churches as a whole, we're playing. And you may be. We may be at our place. I don't know. I'm preaching what God gave me. Romans 12 and 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. I think that means red hot. I should have looked it up again. But I think that carries the idea of being hot. I mean, being excited. I mean, getting in this thing. Putting your heart into it. Colossians chapter 3 and 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. It's unto the Lord. And that's what we're doing. We're doing it. Unto the Lord, put your heart into missions. You do believe that's right, don't you? We're putting our hearts in this thing. We're playing. Here's what he told the Corinthians. Of course, we know 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and 1 Corinthians 16. Those are the faith promise chapters. But 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, he said, therefore, as you abound in everything, abound means overflowing, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us. Here's what Paul says. See that you abound in this grace also. See that you overflow in this giving grace. That's what he's saying to us. Now, you know what Paul said? He said, I press toward the mark. I don't really know what that word press means. I've heard people say that means you just, that last burst of energy at the finish line. I don't know if that's right or not. But it carries the idea of persecution. I looked that word up in the Strong's. It said persecution. I couldn't figure that out. I believe it meant persecuting your body. I believe he said, I'm just pushing as hard as I can toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling. Here's what I think. And I may be, like I said, I'm just preaching what God gave me. I don't think we realize how close this thing is to wrapping up. We ought to redeem. I can almost feel the Lord's return in the air. He's coming. Church, he's coming. We're going to be out of here. But what about them poor sinners that's never heard? We talk about his second coming, and half the world's never heard of his first coming. Isn't that sad? These little 15, 16, 17-year-old children all over this globe never heard about Jesus. That's sad to me. That's sad. Listen, we're about to wrap this thing up. The night is coming when no man can work. My, the Bible teaches us to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make good use of the time we have left. I do that every little bit in my life. I guess every week or two, I tell myself, at best, you've probably got about 15 to, I like to say 20 now. You say if I could make it to 75, now I'm up to 80. I'd like to make it to 80. But that'll be about all I have. I won't make the most out of it. And if the missionary can give his house and give his family up and give his parents up, give a good job up, and sacrifice all that to go to the mission field, why can't I give more than what I'm giving? I'm not giving anything. I'm not giving anything. I have done without nothing because of my mission giving. That's right. That's right. I've not. I really don't even know if it'll be a sacrifice. And I know, I understand you can't outgive God. I know all them truths, but really, I've not lost anything, Brother Clint. I've not give up my parents or my home or my job or my future or my safety. Not giving up any of that for the cause of Christ. My, we ought to be willing to do our part. And we ought to be like that widow. We ought to do all we can to get the gospel out. My, I tell our church, I just feel like I need to tell y'all, and our faith promise was a little over 200,000 this year. But can I tell you, at the end of the year, there'll be enough in there to take care of our mission meeting. And that's it. Why? I'm going to do all I can to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Time is running out. It's running out. And I just want to encourage you. I know y'all knew what the Great Commission was. I'm well aware of that. Everybody in here, you thought I was just wasting your time. But I went through all that just to say this. Let's get fired up about this thing. I mean, let's just, if they can sacrifice and if God told us this is what I want you to do, let's do it to the very best of our ability. Let's give all we can. You may not be able to give much, but give all you can. Not just money. What about prayers? The brother said it. He needs prayers. How many of you have prayed an hour this week for missionaries? I suspect very few of us. I haven't. I'm sorry, Brother Milton Brooks, I haven't. Haven't prayed an hour. We ought to give. Look what they're giving. Look what the Lord gave. And here's what He told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please take this little message, this little thought, speak to our hearts. God, help us. Help us just to be what we ought to be and do what we ought to do for your glory. Bless this church and this good pastor. Bless this mission month. Use it for your honor and your glory. Father, I commit this message to you to do with it what needs doing. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.